So. But even just like Cronenberg.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Anything surgical. Okay. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Who are you?
I'm Kate.
I'm Ben. And this is Cahoots.
Cahoots.
We never say if we're going to try and say it at the same time.
I kind of think of it like the NPR sketch on SNL. Where it's like, delicious dish.
Mm-hmm.
But like, hi, what's this? Yes, thank you. Welcome to
Delicious dish. Yeah. No, that's basically what it is. And so you're listening to maybe episode 5?
Of Cahoots.
And we're back. This is, if I'm at some point, it'd be nice to do enough of these where I believe that every time someone listened, it wouldn't potentially be their first time. But for the time being, it's a podcast where Kate and I have fun letting our hair down after a long day of screenwriting by making jokes about pitches of movies that we are not going to write. Usually,
but maybe we will, and all rights belong to Cahoots LLC.
But if we make a joke on here, it's our joke, and if we can prove you stole it, then we've both got lawyers that will fuck you up.
Just take you out back.
Sharks, just absolute sharks. We like to come up with funny titles or funny ideas for movies and then pitch each other joke ideas. Sometimes it's prepared, sometimes it's completely off the cuff. It usually is mostly off the cuff because we're lazy. We don't do a lot of preparation. We mostly just have a list of funny prompts.
Yes. I mean, for anyone that hires us out there, we definitely do a lot of preparation. Just not for Cahoots.
No. Very meticulous and prepared in our actual jobs as screenwriters.
Yeah. It makes this really fun because it gets. But anyway. Mm-hmm.
So what do we got today? We were just talking.
But to your point, sometimes it's like a little bit more, I guess, like there's just innately more stuff there, and then a lot of times it's just like a single word or
just something that tickles one of us and we think there could be potential for. And did you want to start with the one you had?
I don't remember where it came from, but
I don't either.
The organist,
which would automatically imply someone who plays an organ, right? That's the only actual use of organist, but it would be clever.
Well, yeah. So, let's just to get it out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a sort of powder movie on our hands.
Wait, how is it like powder?
Oh, like they're both playing, you know.
It's pianos. Like a movie about an
or the pianist.
Yeah, or like the Shine.
Oh shit! Sorry, I meant Shine when I said powder.
Powder. Oh god, oh, I was god. Like, powder's the like alopecia guy that gets struck by lightning a lot.
I was really excited there.
How does that work? No, Shine. You're right. Although powder could have been called Shine, probably.
I feel like you just gave me some points I didn't earn, but yes. You know, very pale guys, right? They're both
Okay,
great. I got that right.
Well, that's why I call him Powder.
Or the pianist.
The pianist, yeah. The organist. So,
we're talking about like a drama. A drama that's... organist could very easily be a period piece. Mm-hmm. You could go the organist of, you know, like royalty and place it in a... like a specific time period,
the 1500s
that's
or something.
Interesting,
Is it where it's about a guy who's like the organist,
kind of a specific event, right? Like around,
or like at a specific cathedral that is in it. I mean, this is where my history knowledge fails me, but a city that gets overtaken by multiple regimes, like it's like. And or you know like
ooh that's interesting like the so, dueling of art
yeah it's like the idea that this guy maintains his job as an organist throughout the changing political world around him and stuff like that.
Oh, so my mind went to like if there were overthrowing happening, it's sort of like in Whiplash when you have, you know, the Miles Teller coming up and he's having to compete against the guy who's already first year, and it's like that. So the dynamics
of that,
like, okay, I'm I mean, this again, like I will say literally what you just said. This is where my history fails me. But like in Europe, when, you know, at any point when there's been some takeover, which, like, you know, Queen Elizabeth died and then James the First took over. Mm-hmm. But like, let's say that was some sort of a battle of like, and so you get to see
the Gauls or whatever.
Like you get to see. So from, because I mean, the any kind of war or overthrowing, and again, like that event didn't happen, but like whatever the version of that is, usually you're seeing it on the battlefield, and how cool would it be? Like, that's actually like, kind of a cool movie, like to see these two companies going, you know, through like an artistic lens as opposed to a battle war.
Yeah, movie. Like it's about what how the culture changes for somebody in that, and like the which is probably
did you say you had not seen Amadeus?
No, I never have.
Okay, so right there, I mean,
yeah, that's when you started talking. I was like, I think that's kind of So like, you could have something called The Organist that was a sort of Amadeus type movie for sure, and like, or just about a famous cathedral, or like.
Cathedral's kind of a fun place to just put it all. If there's one that's had, you know, different regimes come in and out, and like what, like if that's the anchor.
Yeah. If it's all set at like Notre Dame or something like that. Like, I don't know, you know, presumably, because like a lot of those church organs, I think there was even like, there was a story a couple years ago, I say a couple years ago when I literally mean I think in college, where it was like there was some kind of weird, I don't know if it was an organ in the same way that we would think of it, but I'm sure there's similar types of things. But it was like some kind of thing where you played the bells at these certain bells in this cathedral tower, and there was some way they had to be done. And it was like the last guy who like knew how to do it was like 90 years old and was going to die. And it was like, there's like literally nobody like knows how to do this like him. And it's like some of those like insane church organs and stuff. Like, it's like, there's probably something like that where it's like something about like, you know, this sort of dying art and this like old man that's like been doing this his entire life. And that's like, he's one of the last people that can do it, and it's going to die with him or something. Like, I don't know. There's like, there's some, definitely some sentimental, interesting, you'd have to find a real thing, but yeah, the organist.
I don't know the details but I went to Biltmore House in Asheville, North Carolina, over Christmas, and I went once as a kid, and I have like those sort of snapshot memories. I remember being in a specific spot in the garden and all that kind of stuff. But they have, that all leading to, they have a giant organ there with a whole history and a story about like how it got there. Because so much of that house in particular is like, he just would go to Europe and buy things. Like, there was some, but yeah, like, even having a version of that where it's like this thing gets brought over and put here, and like, what is shit? Even you could even have like some sort of ghost story then, right? Like whoever, the house that, or the castle or whatever that he bought it from, and from Crazy Ludwig in Germany. And now it's like in America, and then, you know,
it's a haunted organ.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I mean, organs are like, it's an interesting instrument because not a lot of people really know how to play it. Like, there's like the really like the simple ones, but the real ones, like it's all the different foot pedals. Like, I used to have one, and I had it for years in my house. I never got good at it. And that's like even small compared to the big crazy church ones. So like, it is an interesting thing, like more so like a very rarefied kind of antiquated instrument that isn't popular at all. I wonder if there is a movie about that.
Well, there definitely could be.
There could be.
A couple of different versions.
And you were thinking of another one.
What, just now?
Well, the other uses of the word organ.
Oh, we're moving on from organ. Organist.
Well, from the like playing it, I think.
No, we're moving on from organist. And we're moving into organist.
this is like the horror version, like the.
No. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, no, yes. Thriller, horror.
Mm-hmm.
So there's your kidney thief movie.
Oh yeah, like it's the real guy that does the bathtub thing.
Yeah, so he's the organist.
Oh wow, that's actually, you didn't tell me this one before, so that was a genuine reaction. That's like something you could pitch though, because it's like that's a famous urban legend that everybody knows, and the idea that it's all one person that's been doing that.
Like stealing kidneys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never saw the urban legend movies.
He's the organist.
He's the organist. Oof. You could probably... I don't know if Blumhouse... I'm trying to think if Blumhouse would do that. Like, it's so... You know what I mean? Like, that's such a... All rights reserved.
Wait, that's what I meant when I said the organist.
Yeah, I didn't...
I was totally thinking, like, organ thief.
Because when you texted me organist... I said, is it about somebody who creates like a mechanical penis or something, I think. Or like an artificial penis.
That, no, no, Ben, that's the organist. I'm talking about the organist.
Mm-hmm. Which, let's keep talking about that. So like, so wait, are you have other iterations of it, or was that the main one?
Well, the main one was just like black market kidney guy. The organist.
And he's just, is he like, is he just like a sociopath, or is he like, is it literally just a profit thing? Is it just like a cold, like he just is selling black market organs and that's why he does it? Or is he like a Hannibal Lecter?
I kind of want to write this movie now.
I know, it's not bad.
No, I think it's, I think it starts off, this is just my first take. Super rough.
Yeah, go for it.
I think he, I think it starts off as, I think what we see initially as the audience is that it is a black market thing. He's making money doing it, or mm-hmm. some version of that. But what we learn about him is that there's like, there is maybe like a psychopathic mm-hmm. side of him. And like, I don't know if that extends to cutting or to
mm-hmm.
like some, I don't know, physicality thing, but ultimately I'm pushing towards the button of the movie being the scene where, did you remember that German story where the guy like paid another guy to
let him eat him?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do know that story, yeah.
So that's one version of this movie where it gets like, it's all really contained and takes place in these like apartments and houses and bathrooms and like, but that conversation when like, I'm here to eat you, because that's like it build, the movie builds to that.
I had a whole movie. I don't think I'd even heard that story yet. Because was that a recent story or no? There's a couple stories.
I mean, I
like
wanna
that.
I want to say it's, but there was someone prosecuted though.
Yeah,
I mean, it was, or at least charged, I should say.
Because I wanted to do a whole movie that was about like a group of consensual cannibals, almost like you know, like a, not a cult in the sense that they would have beliefs, but that like a group of people that were all interested in like eating people and being eaten, and they would all go and meet up, and like one of them was a doctor and would actually like, in a way that like cut something off of you that like is inessential for everybody else to eat it, like everybody had to give some part, and they would all, it was just like this weird fight. And I really wanted to do this movie, but I didn't know where to go with it. And then I did write a cannibal movie, but I mean, well, I think it's already been announced, but it's in the producer got me too'd, so oh well. You know. Which, but all that is, a cannibal shit's great. It's fascinating.
Well, and really, I mean, that movie is like that guy going from being, I'm gonna take your kidney from you to sell it, and it's more of a, how, I don't know how he landed in this occupation.
Yeah,
and I
yeah.
really brought him there, but it's definitely much more of a transactional thing.
Mm-hmm.
How do you go from that to, by the end of the movie, the same guy is like eating? I can't, like to me, there's an interesting movie there. And
well, like, yeah, because I mean, medical fetishes are a real thing, and I don't know a ton about it, but it's like, I mean, I'm sure that there's the cannibal cop, that whole thing, like they was just like a fantasy thing where they just, him and his like weird friends just wanted to like email each other stuff about how they were going to kidnap women and like eat them. And it's like, so there are people that are turned on by the idea of like, you know, not only cannibalism, but like, you know, medical stuff and things like that. Like the idea of somebody who is getting some sort of thrill out of like taking people's organs out, like where does that, what's the next level of that? And is that, like you said, like performing surgery on himself, or then wanting to perform surgery on someone and eat something? It's like, yeah, like what is the sort of advanced degree of that very extreme behavior and attitude? Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. The Organist is a fucking great title for it, too.
It's what he specializes in.
Mm-hmm.
And then you replied with your pitch. Go.
I think it was about a guy who makes an artificial penis. I think. I mean, because organ, that's the other sort of funny use of the word organ that comes up is the male organ.
Part of it.
Yeah. It's a thing. So I don't know what the funniest version of, like, if it was a comedy, a penis-based comedy called The Organist, what would the funniest version of that be?
We could have called, you could have named Boogie Nights the organist.
Yeah, yeah, you could have. That's another fun thing we like to do on this is sometimes name other movies that you could have called. Yeah, we've done that before. That's a good one.
Yeah, I think my favorite is Titanic could have been Cahoots.
Yeah. One day I'm going to have to dig those up, or we're going to have to like do a greatest hits of Cahoots jokes. We haven't done those in a while. Penis-based comedy, The Organist. What would you do?
Well, I mean, Boogie Nights was fantastic because it took a subject matter that is really tough to lock down tonally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're ever going to go into, like, you look at, what is the Jesse Sparrow striptease, like, you know,
oh,
the striptease,
yeah, yeah,
and just the tonally how off that was, like, mm-hmm. How
I have it on Blu-ray right over there, by the way, if you...
delightful
Showgirls, but, you mean striptease with a Demi Moore one,
that's okay, so
yeah, they came around at the same time. Yes,
that was I think I thought Demi Moore in a poll, then I thought Jesse Sparrow.
Spano.
Showgirls.
Yes. Tees. Yes.
Jesse Sparrow.
Spano.
Span. I don't have an in
there. I think I'm right.
No, I think you're right. You're totally right. No, point being, though, so like the tone of that is really tough. Like, Closer did a good job with Natalie Portman's character.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think, when you go into those worlds, like, how do you treat it?
Mm-hmm,
and was it Anna Paquin was in 25th Hour, right? And she was a stripper. Was it her Anna Paquin? Or am
yeah,
I totally?
She's not a stripper, though, I don't think.
They were just in a club. Like,
yeah, they're in like a club and it just has that thing, yeah. I feel like she probably has played something like that before, but yeah.
But I think that's. So, like, I think Boogie Nights taking the male pornography performer.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
Also, you're going to make it in the 70s, which is like even more of a caricature.
But yeah, no, you're right. That's a good point that it's like that's almost like the funniest, the traditionally funniest porn era, like the mustaches and stuff like that. So, yeah, he was like taking a big bite there that everyone would just laugh that movie out. Yeah, good point.
So, like, you could do, you know, aiming for that tone, you could do a. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind when I hear organist in the
a penile sense
of penises is Jimi Hendrix, and he was the first man.
Okay, the cast.
The cast, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, you know, so now, okay, The Organist is a movie about a woman, ironically, who launches a dildo business based on rock star cast penises or something, like, whatever.
Yeah.
I think she was doing it as an art project, but, like, yeah, yeah, whatever. Yeah. Like, some, there's some story of a person out there, mm-hmm, that created dildos. That's one movie.
It's a rags to riches dildo manufacturing success story.
There's that.
Yeah.
Or even that particular lady who did that.
Yeah. This is
what was ultimately, I guess, an art exhibit.
Yeah.
Or something.
It was Cynthia Plastercaster, I think was her name. Fun fact, the casting company I worked for was called Plaster Casting, as a joke pun on that real thing. Because my boss was a funny person and thought plaster casting was funny.
That's really funny.
Yeah. She's clever. You'd like her.
That's really funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, like.
No, that's cool.
Because actually, I think supposedly, or if you look at dildos in like a sex shop,
mm-hmm,
and a lot of them are still handmade, like the ones that are German and the like really fine silicone ones,
mm-hmm,
they're still like, because apparently I think it has something to do with like the material and like getting,
mm-hmm,
you
mean as opposed to like made by some sort of like factory assembly, yeah, process,
like the I think
I've heard that. I think that is,
that's why
thing.
They're like $100.
Yeah. So it's like, so it could be like, it could.
You still mold silicone. Like, that's.
Yeah, yeah.
For the sex dolls, but also just like when you do like the creature design and stuff like that.
Yeah,
for
yeah.
Movies. And I think it has to do with the way like that material. sets up. It takes a long time.
Sure, sure. So you could, it could just literally be like, you could, there's probably like, without even knowing anything about it, there's probably already like a really interesting story of some particular entrepreneur in the world of like sex toy manufacturing. So like, it's like a, you know, like any biopic movie, like the Ray Kroc movie that the founder, the McDonald's one or something. It's just like, oh, it's like, you know, just the story of, you know, the how whatever this famous successful dildo ever got made in the first place. And it's hopefully it was by an interesting woman, and it's just called The Organist.
Instead of The Rabbit.
Yeah. Wait, yeah, no.
Was that made by a lady? Probably.
I think so, yeah.
Because that was like on Sex and the City, they always like,
that was like a whole big thing, yeah. So, but this would be like, this would almost, this would be like the, like, you know, you imagine it as like a 19. When did they, when do you think they started making silicone dildos? I don't even know.
I don't either, because I like the idea of masturbation being a thing that needed to even be addressed for women, and then the idea of like adding things to it.
Well, yeah, and it, like, it would all have to have been like post, because there's all the like the vibrating stuff. Like, I don't, I mean, presumably at that time, well, dildos would have been made for like, you know, like rich people, decadent sex party things. Like, they certainly would have existed, but like the idea that maybe that's the story is like, how did it become manufactured? How did it become like a widespread manufactured thing?
Yeah, who out there was like, no, this
like,
is
like, we
a
can
thing
sell
that's...
this to people, yeah. Not just for like, you know, dukes and duchesses or to like, you know, rape their slaves with or whatever, like, you know, like whatever, like the weird, because that's like Marquis de Sade stuff that certainly had things like that, but like, how did that become normal? Yeah, it's a good movie anyways, no matter what the story is. Probably, I would assume,
and definitely called The Organist.
Yeah, it's a great name for a movie. All copyright, I mean, that's one I guess that like somebody could take, because we can't own that, but maybe we could, maybe it still counts in as intellectual property, because we, I don't know. But it's a movie that should probably exist.
Yeah, for sure. I want to hear that story.
Yeah. I mean, I obviously, we'll Wikipedia it later just to see what it is.
I have one other
pitch. One more? Okay, go for it.
The Oregonist.
What's the, so it's like Oregon, like the state?
Yep.
Is the pun on organs play into the plot at all?
Here's the thing. I've never been to Oregon.
Neither have I. We should go to Oregon.
Portland, Oregon, right? Like, I could, no, yeah. Too much Portland. We know enough about Portland, Oregon, yeah. I guess, right? The show.
Yeah, the rest of it's just like, I think it's just nature. I don't think there's a lot there.
So it's just a fugitive living in nature in Oregon.
Okay. The Organist. Well, it's like, I mean, you could, like, if your kidney organ thief one took place in Oregon, it could be.
You're
the
all
or-
about like the
organist.
You're all about like the meadow on top of meadow tonight.
Yeah, I could see that though, because there's a lot of serial killers in that part of the country, like.
Yeah,
you know, Oregon and Seattle, like, for whatever reason, have like a lot more serial killers, so that would make sense to be set there anyways.
I think it has to do with national parks.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that a theory? Did you just think of that, or is that like that's something you've thought of before? Because I've always wondered myself why there are more serial killers in that part of the country, and I don't know the answer.
I have to give initial credit to Annie Brandt, one of my best friends, who gets referenced on almost every episode
of this so far.
Dear friend, best friend. She's a prop master and a cinephile, and also just a crazy person that has outlandish...
She's an outside-of-the-box thinker.
Yeah, outlandish thoughts and ideas. And she and I did a road trip last fall. We went down to Yellowstone, and we were driving in the park.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I didn't know about Yellowstone is... just how vast it is.
Yeah.
Like, it goes in wild directions, and I mean, just like, you know, you like you very easily get lost. Just like driving.
And
walking.
People die in national parks. I mean, it's
yeah. But the whole point of this being is like, or me telling the story is the, like, she starts rattling off stories and she's like, cause we, at one moment we go by this gorge and I'm like, holy crap. Like that's just mm-hmm. like 6 inches that way. And you fall off the cliff and you see these giant, like demarcations for the drifts in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking like 12 feet, 15 feet. And the, you know, where they post the reflectors.
Uh-huh.
And so you're just driving and it's snowing. I mean, we were there and when it was warmer, but like, the idea of just like your car goes off and no one will find it. Like it's not, even though yeah. even though you're in a public, I guess that's the thing is like you're in a public park and it's a huge thing like that. And then she's had some family that have been in, motorcycle gangs.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, just stories about, like, people that are, like, you know, so-and-so disappeared for a while. Well, where'd you go? You go to a national park. Because it's not, like, you can get lost in the woods, build a fire, stay there, be on the lam for a while. There's no cops. Like, it's, they're not circling the area. There's not, like.
That's interesting, because, I mean, like, what I'm kind of hearing is that it's almost like the existence of those places in that part of the world, like, just brings people a greater sense of, like, awareness of how isolated, like, we can be from each other. And the idea that, like, they can be just doing these weird things and no one know about it. People go missing all the time. People could go missing all the time. Like, it's almost just like as though the national parks are this sort of, like, subtextual, like, inspiration. And has, it's like, as well as a logistical understanding of what you're describing, but that's like, yeah, that's an interesting way to think about it. I don't know.
Well, there's some other things, which I'm not quickly recalling here, but I do remember her saying, like, other specifics about, it's not so much the consequence of, like, oh, if you get caught, it's, you know, and how the laws are different maybe on a mm-hmm. national park, but it's more about that things aren't, like, they're not maintained even, right?
Uh-huh.
So it's just like, it is, the park is what it is. So it's mm-hmm. like, a campsite, someone comes through, they check on, you know, there's rounds, there's rangers, there's,
mm-hmm.
there's, you know, groundskeeping, people like mowing and
mm-hmm.
doing. So like the idea of just, I think a maintenance, from a maintenance perspective as well. But there, like, she even had other things. I'm just driving and she's like, oh yeah, no, if you're running from the law, you definitely go to a national park and you have like these five things. I'm just like, okay, yeah, it's just a different life in Wyoming.
That's so crazy. Well, we could do like 15, 20 minutes more if we wanted. Do we have another topic?
Open your...
Oh, yeah. Go to the list. Oh, this is funny. This might be a different thing to do. I just thought this was funny. There was an article in IndieWire the other day that the headline was "American Graffiti Could Have Been Called Burger City." One of 60 dreadful titles suggested. And it was a list of, like, the marketing department at the studio at the time that American Graffiti was getting made. And this was, like, the typewritten list of, like, other suggested titles. And I could read some of them, but the one... Goodbye Burger City. And just any iteration on Burger City just made me laugh. And I was kind of like... Well, what would... Yeah, Burger City Blues. And I was like, trying to... And we may just have nothing here, but I was like trying to think of, like, what would the movie called Burger City be? You know, like, it was... It like, because I don't... That doesn't... I mean, yeah, I guess they eat burgers in American Graffiti at some point, I'm sure. I don't remember. Like, they... But, like, that's a terrible title for that movie. But I was going to see if we had any ideas for Burger City.
Well, I mean, like, think of like, like Bob's Burgers, uh-huh. Like, you know, and then like it's an entire cartoon set around a diner, mm-hmm. called Bob's Burgers, but like.
I mean, if there's nothing there, we can just pick a different one. But I thought it was funny. Burger City. Like, I mean, I guess. I mean, is it like set in an absurd fictional world where there's a city where every restaurant is a burger restaurant or something? Like, is it?
You just live in a burger.
Oh, it's a city that looks like a burger. It's like in like Guardians of the Galaxy when they're in that thing that's inside that. Thing like that, like city distance, is it like a head or something? I don't remember.
It's kind of like Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, yeah. Except it's just like instead of it raining as food, it's like you're just living a burger.
It's like Horton Hears a Who, and it's like an entire universe that's inside a burger. All right, well, guys, thanks. Thanks for listening to Cahoots. You can subscribe on iTunes and Spotify and Pocket Casts and Google, whatever, wherever. Yeah, that would be great.
Thanks. Good night.
Bye.